Good morning. Next week for Easter, you notice on the front of your bulletin, we'll have an Easter egg hunt for the young ones. So be thinking about that. Be reminded that this coming week, this coming Sunday, is a time that many are interested in worshiping, what we call going to church. Maybe they may not other Sundays, but they have an interest that Sunday. I don't necessarily like that because it's very sporadic. Does that make right? But if my neighbor is more inclined to come to a church service and worship God next Sunday, why wouldn't I ask them? If they're going to go somewhere or be interested in going somewhere, why wouldn't I want them to come and join us here? So be thinking about that. If they have children, tell them we're going to have an Easter egg hunt next Sunday after services. It'll be a lot of fun, so be thinking about that. Be looking forward to it. This morning, I want us to talk about something that's very closely related to the greatest news this world has ever known. The greatest thing this world has ever known is the gospel. That there was a God that loved us so much that He would send His Son to die for us. We've sung a lot about the blood of Christ this morning. That we would have a God that would send His Son and die for us to save us, to reach down to save us. And so in doing so, God has provided us something that is at the very heart of that. It's something we do. It's something that has great symbolism and great meaning. And I would say that baptism is of the most misunderstood, mispracticed parts of Scripture in our world today. So I want us to talk about baptism this morning. I want us to think about a number of things about baptism. My goal is that we leave here this morning and that you, as an individual who someday will stand before God, that you will know this morning when you leave from your Bible that you can read in, that you will know what God teaches us about who should be baptized. How should they be baptized? Why should they be baptized? And when should they be baptized? Instead of us standing before God having been baptized some way, taught to us by someone, wouldn't it be better to stand before God having been baptized one way according to what we read in our Bible? And so that's my goal this morning. I wanted to begin and just look at three scriptures and answer the question, how important is baptism? Because that may be kind of a starting place. We might say, you know, it seems like we talk a lot about it. And the short answer to why we talk about it is there's so much misunderstood about it. So there's a need for it. But you might say, you know, Elliot, I think we're really, you know, choking on a gnat here. I think we're really focusing on the wrong thing. I don't think it's as important as you're making it out to be. So let's... we just look at three scriptures. Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." Acts 22:16, this is where Ananias tells Paul, "Why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." 1 Peter 3:21, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God. It's just my monitor. As an appeal to God for good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we just and I also want to point out, if you have a sermon outline, you have at the top of that outline all the scriptures we're going to use today or that we'll look at. You have them in order, so we'll look at some multiple times. But here's just three, right, quickly to answer the question: how is it really that important? And we notice that if baptism is for the forgiveness of my sins, if it washes away my sins, if it saves me, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty important to me. Right? If it does those three things, that's pretty important. So that's where we start from. Let's take a look at why is there so much confusion. Depending on where you go or what church building you walk into, you would be taught to be baptized a variety of ways. Okay, let's just think about who. You might be instructed that if you have a baby, an infant, a newborn, we need to baptize them. The teaching there or the doctrine there comes from the belief that we inherit sin, that Adam's sin goes through all of us when a person's born. They're born into sin. They're born with sin. They're born with the need to deal with sin. And so that's where that teaching comes from. But you might be instructed to baptize your baby. You might be instructed to be baptized when you're old enough to have faith, which could be as young as 5 years old, 5, 6. Or you might be instructed to be baptized when you're old enough, when a person's old enough to have a sin problem. I word it that way. What that means is old enough to repent, old enough to need to repent, old enough to understand sin and have a conscience and to have an awareness about what sin is. Okay, which is different for each kid, but tends to be 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. Why? You might be taught to be baptized because you're already saved. In other words, that you believe, you put your faith in Christ, and that you're saved then, and that you get baptized. So now we're baptizing you as a symbol of what's already happened. You're already saved. You might be instructed to be baptized to join that congregation. Not the big church, not God's church worldwide, but that particular congregation. Or the baptism might be to be saved. These would be some basic things that you might run into. How? You might be instructed to be baptized by immersion, which means go under, submerge. Or sprinkling or pouring. You might be instructed to be baptized timing when it's convenient. We're going to have a baptism Sunday here in about 5 weeks, so come that day, we'll do it then. Might be, I know some have been, I had a college student when I was a campus minister that she was instructed that she was saved based upon faith and that she should be baptized when it's the time is right and that she would know when the time is right. It reminded me a lot of, you know, when a young kid asks, how do you know when you're in love? And when the grown-up says, you know, you'll know. You'll know. Well, that's, anyway, kind of helpful, kind of not. But some might tell you, some might tell you that you'll know and basically don't worry too much about it. Or you might be instructed to do it immediately upon faith repentance. So we have four different categories that have, and I just listed three. Now, I'm sure there are more. You could find some, there are churches that baptize for the dead, and we have other kind of things pertaining to baptism. But let's just look at every person. If you're in here and you've been baptized, chances are you were baptized by one of these combinations. Okay? So we have four categories. We have three choices in each. Do you know how many choices that actually would give us? Some of you math ladies, like to crunch numbers. We have four categories, three choices each. How many different combinations would that allow us? The big answer, if you're wanting to be exact and don't argue with me, but the big answer is 81. The correct answer is 81, 4 and 3, okay? But I've you know, after taking a quick look at this, obviously a baby is not going to do it when it feels it's time. Okay, so there are a few things that limit, that lower that number, and that number comes down. A conservative number would give us 54 different combinations. Okay, so a deck of cards with the jokers, right? Which is how we play pitch. If you don't know how to play pitch, you need to learn. Pitch is a good game. Anyway, a deck of cards with jokers, 54 cards. Now that's kind of mind-blowing to me. When you stop and think about what's being taught about baptism, And that churches are coming up with 54 different combinations of how to be baptized. That's kind of a problem, isn't it? And so let's take a look at these. If the Bible answers the question of who and why and how and when, if the Bible answers that and gives me one answer for each, which would leave me with one combination, okay? If the Bible tells me that, wouldn't I want to be baptized that way? Wouldn't I? If I had been baptized previously some other way, but I can read in my Bible one combination. Uno. One. And I have been baptized some other way, wouldn't I want to do it again according to what I read in my Bible versus what somebody may have told me? And I'm not, and understand, I want you to know right now, I don't throw stones at people. I don't like dragging churches through the mud, okay? God is the judge. I don't want His chair. It's His chair, His throne. I'm not the judge. I give people the benefit of the doubt that they're teaching out of a good heart, but wrong is still wrong, and I want to do right, okay? So understand where I'm coming from. So if the Bible answers these questions, that's kind of important. We would want to do it the right way. About a year ago, I bought a used car, Chrysler 300. It's an 06. It's about 10 years old. When I went to get the oil change the first time, a guy, you know, brings me up to pay for it, and he says, "Dad, we did this and we did this and did this. We could not check your transmission fluid. Could not check your transmission fluid. You have to take that to the dealer to check the transmission fluid. We're not supposed to do that, allowed to do that, because of the way they've made this transmission and the way the fluid is checked. You have to do that at the dealer." Well, I didn't really like to hear that because I like to get my oil changed, you know, conveniently right down the street. But, okay. So that left me with a choice, which I really didn't think about it as a choice because, but it is a choice. I mean, I could, with YouTube, anytime somebody tells you you have to have a professional do something, oh no. With YouTube, I can do it, right? I can at least try it. Now, some people are like more proficient at YouTube and actually having success with it. And I'll spotlight Jessica Hendricks, can do more things. I didn't say Jonathan, I said Jessica, can do more things, fix more things around the house. She just looks it up, figures out how to do it, and does it. I did not stop for 1 minute and think to myself, "Elliot, maybe you can figure out how to do this." Transmission on the car I need to drive every day. Do I want to mess with that? It is too important for me to take a chance. Okay? And so, why would we spend this much time on baptism? Well, there's a lot of confusion about it. And since it has to deal with washing my sins away and being saved, and, you know, for remission of sins, that's important. I don't know of anything more important to me. To me. You might have something more important than your salvation to you. Not to me. Let's get through these. Who? So, Acts 2:38, we've looked at it. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your forgiveness of your sins." That helps us with the question of who, because Peter tells them to repent. So it tells me that, first of all, it tells me my infant cannot repent. So this scripture alone is teaching me baptism is not for infants. They cannot repent. It also tells me that my young child is not a candidate for baptism because they can't repent. The word repent means to turn from sin. Young children don't have sin. They don't understand sin. Now, yes, they can do wrong and get in trouble. We get on to them. But they don't understand sin like we do when we gain a conscience and an awareness that we do when we get into our teen years. And so, young child cannot repent. Incidentally, repentance technically is a decision. It's the decision you make to change. God doesn't tell us You go get your life right, get your act together, then come to me and I'll save you. You understand that? That's part of why we love God so much. He didn't tell us, you go get your ducks in a row, then come back and I'll save you. God says, you make a decision to change your life and I'll take you from that point. Okay? And baptism is a part of this. So, Acts 2:41, those who received His word were baptized. So both of these are, Acts chapter 2 is the first place where people were baptized into Christ. Okay? First place in Scripture. Jesus was not baptized into Christ. Jesus was baptized into John's baptism. So was everyone who John baptized? Everyone we read about, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who were baptized, John's baptism. Okay? It's not baptism into Christ. Acts 19 teaches us that. First part of Acts 19. So here where the church began, Acts chapter 2, you had to receive the word. So that again tells me an infant is not a candidate. A young child's not a candidate because they're not of the age to be able to discern between truth and fairy tale. Okay? So a young age, I'm talking above a newborn, but 4 or 5, not old enough. So one who needs to repent of a sinful life is the who should be baptized. Why should they be baptized? So we looked at these to start with. Same three scriptures. To wash away my sins, for the forgiveness of your sins, baptism corresponds to this and now saves you. Now, 1 Peter 3:21 is talking about the flood, using the flood and Noah as an illustration to talk about how water saves us. So we have three different wordings. Don't these all mean the same? Aren't these three different ways of saying the same thing? If I go from having sin and God removes it, am I not saved? Isn't that what saved means? Saved from sin? So, wash away my sins, forgiveness of sins. It saves you. Baptism gets rid of sin. It's for the purpose of ridding me of sin to be saved. In my house, in our laundry room, we have what's called detergent. You ever looked on one of these things for the word detergent? It's on there, but you've got to really look for it. I don't know why they do that. That's always been anyway, I digress. Detergent. This is to wash clothes. In my house, when I put dirty clothes in the washing machine, I don't just turn it on and run it. Put some of this in it. This gets the dirt out, right? You have some in your house. That's what it does. That's what it's for. That's how I use it. Leave it in the laundry room. When I wash clothes, use detergent. When Scripture tells me there's a purpose for something, God's not trying to trick us. He's not trying to confuse us. He says baptism is for the forgiveness of your sins. Paul's told, be baptized, wash your sins away. Peter writes about it, inspired by God. He says it saves you. And so this is what baptism is for. If I was told to be baptized for another reason, I wasn't told according to my Bible. Right? And there are other reasons that are taught. And a real quick answer, if anyone's wondering, why would all these churches, can these churches not pick up a Bible and just read and, right? Why is there so much confusion or false teaching on baptism? And the short answer is traditions. When you have churches that practice things a certain way, each generation inherits those teachings. And they either fall in line and stay with those teachings and convert their mind to those teachings, or they're kicked out, booted out, rushed out, shoved out, right? And that's how false teaching continues. That's a short answer. All right, how should I be saved? So, sprinkling, pouring, this is the most bizarre. The word baptized in your Bible was not translated. In the English Bibles, the word baptized, Greek word is baptizo. There are your fancy Greek letters there. baptizo. The Greek word baptizo means to immerse or submerge. That's the meaning. That's why on Acts 2, when the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire, they spoke in tongues, they were immersed with the Holy Spirit. Immersed. That's what the word baptized means. But when the English translators were translating Bibles, including King James, they did what's called transliterate, which is where they take the Greek word and they find letters, or they create an English word that sounds like the Greek word. That's why baptized sounds like baptizo. So they create a word using English letters, letter for letter, and they create a word. Now, that's not the only word in our Bibles that is that way. The word angel is that way. It was transliterated. The word amen was transliterated. The word apostle. So I can't tell you exactly why they did that. But what I've been told and what makes a lot of sense to me is when English Bibles were being translated, immersion was not being practiced. And remember, the early translators of English Bibles did so at the risk of death from Catholic Church, Anglican Church. You talk about a crime that would get you killed, burned at the stake to be exact, would be to translate the Bible from something or to something other than Latin. So you had a lot of control of the church at that time in England, in Europe. And so translators chose to transliterate this word, okay? Probably to save their own skin and not create controversy. But the word simply means to immerse. And that really should be the end of discussion. I mean, how should I do it? The Bible says immerse. But if you look at a couple scriptures, Acts 8, where the eunuch was baptized, it says Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water. Baptizing, both came up out of the water. Romans talks about baptism and says we were buried with him by baptism, which in the Greek means immersion. So the Bible is very, very clear about how. And the answer is by immersion. That's why we do it that way. It would be more convenient, trust me, if we just had a little bowl of water and we did it. We could do it another way for convenience, but it wouldn't be according to the Bible. And who in the right mind would do that? I mean, I don't want to do that. Okay? So we want to do it by immersion. So, let's talk about when. When should we be? And does the Bible answer when? And the good news is, the book of Acts actually gives us a history of the early church, about maybe the first 15 years of the early church, so that we can actually read how Christians were doing things at the beginning, being guided by God and the apostles. Acts 2:41, those who received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So I want to flip through. I'll put 4 on this first slide and 3 on the next slide. But just notice they did it that day. They did it when they believed. They did it as they were going along the road. That's Philip and the eunuch. Come to my house and stay. This is Lydia. She and her family are baptized. And then she says to the ones who taught her, which would be Paul and those with him, says, come to my house. So it was immediately. It was that day. The jailer does it the same hour of the night. People did it upon hearing of the gospel. Paul was asked, why do you wait? Why do you wait? Rise, be baptized, wash your sins away. If you go to the emergency room and you think you've broken your arm, how quick do you expect to get back to a room? If you go to the emergency room and you're having chest pains, and you tell the folks there, I'm having some chest pains, how quick will you get back to a room? If you go to the emergency room, Steve knows this, and you tell them, I'm kind of slurring my speech and my face is, right? I'm losing some control on one side of my face. If you give them stroke symptoms, and thank God Steve didn't have a stroke, but if you give them stroke symptoms, guess how fast you get back to a room? Fast. Some will say, go, lie to them, and tell them you're having chest pains and go get in your room. I say, I think I'd rather be right with God than to get back in a room at the ER. So don't be doing that. Don't go lie and tell me you're having chest pains. In Scripture, baptism was told to people to be done to wash away sins, for remission of sins, for salvation, or it saves you. Does that make sense why they were doing it quickly? The jailer, he does it in the middle of the night. The eunuch, he's the one that speaks up, being taught by Philip. He said, hey, here's water right here. Let's do it here. They're traveling on the road. I've baptized people in the middle of the night in a lake. Many of you have taught and baptized people at times and places that aren't. It's not about convenience. Baptism is not about convenience. Okay? There's a reason Scripture shows people doing it immediately. And that matches up perfectly with why they were told to do it and what God was doing when they were being baptized. And so, we have answers. Scripture tells me how old a person needs to be baptized by the fact that we need to repent first. And that is, I need to be old enough to have a sin problem. I need to do it for the forgiveness of my sins or to be saved. I need to do it by immersion. I need to do it as soon as I put my faith in Christ, as I repent of my sins, that's the time. Okay? So sometimes people will tell me, I'm not sure I'm ready tonight, and they'll give me a date, and I'm not going to hogtie someone and throw them in. It's got to be their decision. But I always say, how about tomorrow? They may give me a date a week. I say, well, how about tomorrow? We did one of those recently. Wasn't ready that day, which is not, I don't recommend that. But I recommend as soon as possible. Why? Because that's what my Bible tells me. That's what we're getting rid of sin here. Why do you want to carry sin around? And so, if I have 54 choices, according to what I might be taught, but if the Bible gives me one, I don't like the odds of 1 in 54, right? Just picking. I want to look in my Bible. And when I baptize people, when I baptize Tina, I sat down, Tina, I want you to see in your Bible what Peter told people to do. He said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. I said, Tina, that's what we're going to do. I want her to know, not just what Elliot told her. I want her to know because she's going to stand before God someday. A scripture that ties back into our unity that we're focusing on this year. Ephesians 4:5 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Scripture doesn't say there's one Lord, one faith, 54 baptisms. Right? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's a bulletin article in your bulletin that is pretty interesting. If you haven't taken a look at that, take a look at that on baptism. There's a copy of the PowerPoints on paper at the Welcome Center if you'd like a copy of what we've gone over today. Next week I want to talk about the new life that baptism brings us. Baptism, salvation, faith in Christ, what God does for us. When a person comes up out of being baptized, out of that moment, having sins washed away, new life starts right there. What is that worth? We're going to talk about that next week. 2 weeks from now, I want you to know, we're going to cover barriers to baptism. And we're going to get in depth about some things like, well, my grandma wasn't baptized like what you're showing us in Scripture. And she was the most godly person I know. That can become a barrier. Does that make sense? That can become a barrier. I need to get my life right first, and then I'll do it. I don't feel worthy. I don't want to do it in front of a crowd. Which, by the way, no baptism in Scripture was done at a church service. It doesn't have to be in front of the whole flock. If you want to be baptized today, and you don't want to do it in front of a lot of people, I'll be here. Trust me. You'll be leaving before I will. So you get with me or one of the elders. We'll do that here in a little while. When people leave, that we do that oftentimes that way. If a person has a phobia of going underwater, there might be a barrier that says, what about the thief on the cross? What about if somebody wants to be baptized and they're on their way and they have a heart attack and die? You telling me God's not going to save them? So all those barriers, all those kind of riddles and things that would hinder us in 2 weeks, a week from Sunday, we're going to talk about those. We're going to sing an invitation song this morning. If you've never been baptized and you're old enough, 12-ish, 13, 14, above, sometimes younger, you're old enough to understand and repent and turn from sin, and you've never been baptized, never had your sins washed away, do you really want to keep carrying your sins around? There will come a day that you stand before God. The Bible says every knee will bow. Do I want to bow my knee before or when God forces me to and then casts me out of His presence? There will come a day we'll all stand before God. Do I really want to carry my sins around? Or do I want to give my life to Christ and have Him washed away? If you've been baptized, but it was one of the 54 ways, but it wasn't what you read in your Bible today, why not do it again? Why would you stand before God and say, God, I did come to learn that there was one. I'm one of the 54. I'm not your one, but I did one. Are we cool? Why do that? Why not say, I know now I want to do it? We have everything ready to baptize someone right now. We can do it after everyone leaves. I don't want you to leave and think about it, but if you do and you call me and you realize at 2 in the morning, call me. You might have to call me repeatedly. My phone's on vibrate at night when I'm sleeping. Call me, call me, call me. There's a reason that preachers harp on things like this. Because a day is coming. It'll be a sad day for some who chose to put it off. And so we're going to sing a song. Come, let us help you this morning. Come while we stand and sing. When we walk